Well, it is the April 30th, Walpurgis Night, Ritual Night, all around the world. All the victims of satanic ritual abuse know this. So we're glad right now that you're a part of this class. You're a part of studying this. Some of you are the victims. Some of you know some of the victims. We're just simply glad you're here tonight. Listen, welcome as you're coming into the classroom, chat room. Let us know if the sound and the volume's okay. We are glad to be here on this night. We've got 3 hours before us, and we've got some testimony tonight. We've got some expert testimony out of Salt Lake City. Human sacrifice. Let me begin. Let me just begin to read this a little bit in the quote. In his memo, Glenn Pace asserted that most of the victims of satanic ritual abuse he interviewed claimed that they had witnessed human sacrifice. In the November 1991 issue of The Messenger, he pointed out that many rational people will have a difficult time believing this statement regarding human sacrifice. And this, the Pace Papers, as some called it. I'm reading out of a book here, just going to give some quotes out of this thing called Satanic Ritual Abuse and Mormonism. I just got back from Salt Lake City, Utah. Saw some of the insides of the Mormon system. Saw the incredible influence and indoctrination and power. But a lot of satanic ritual abuse all around Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm so glad to have met the son of a bishop out there. I'm not going to say his name. Coming out of it, not only believes that there is satanic ritual abuse going on, but as a relative that has MPD. So just saying to all of you right now, welcome as you're coming into the class tonight. This is our sixth week. We are on page 65 in the notes. If you got the workbook tonight, 65. And gathering information from locations and finding the ritual sites. After our 3 hours, I'll be launching out tonight. We're going to go to some of the old places, maybe tonight, by God's grace and what he desires, we might engage. I would rather just simply help a victim out. Glad you're here tonight. Glad you're here tonight. And it sounds like you're all having... look, I'm glad. Listen, you guys having a good... Everything okay tonight? In the chat room, sound, everything else, loud enough? We can turn it up from our side a little bit if we need to. But I just want to welcome you to the SIIU, the Shatter Intervention Investigative Unit, the Satanic Occult Crimes class. We are on week number 6. We are on page 65 in the workbook. And I'm glad you're here. I hope that you've put up the prayers already, that you have been prepared for tonight, and that you will, all through the 3 hours, you're going to be just lifting up some prayer and some praise tonight. Because... Well, let me read this out of page 27, Pace Papers. Quote, why did Jennifer not go to the police? Like other alleged victims, she refers to police and other authority figures as being involved in some of the occult groups and the use of drugs and mind control techniques. I don't know if you've read this or not, but the title of this is called Satanic Ritual Abuse and Mormonism by Gerald and Sandra Tanner. Gerald and Sandra Tanner. You can get it on Amazon. It's only $5. Only $5 for this book. It's a workbook. Not a workbook, but a compilation, really, of articles, of investigation. And we have some folks that are there in Salt Lake City. Maybe they're going to be listening tonight. I don't know. But I was just there for about 4 days almost. And we were scratching into the underground there and engaging and met some victims of ritual abuse. But there's tremendous concern with a grandmother, a mother out there that is looking into all of it and trying to protect her family and other victims from Salt Lake City. So you let me know what you know about Salt Lake City, the ritual abuse there. We want to be able to do some things and to engage in every way we possibly can. So put up the prayers for Salt Lake. Tonight is Wool Purges. It's the very thing we're talking about. This is the night. Let me read to you from the Satanic Calendar, April the 19th through the 25th. It's sacrificial preparation, kidnapping, holding, and ceremonial preparation of persons for human sacrifice. And then the 30th, of course, tonight. And I quote off the calendar. I quote, "One of the most important nights on the Satanic Calendar: blood rituals and human sacrifice." Now, that's the issue that we want to make sure that we all know about, is what's really happening tonight all over the nation, all over Europe, as it probably already occurred. And no doubt that there's going to be those, and along the way, there's going to be those that are going to be wanting to, well, bring harm to this, and maybe even into the chat room and whatever else. So just want you to know that... God's grace is here, praying that God will stretch out his hand to bring his empowerment, his strength. Lord Jesus, we ask you to just simply just grant your grace, grant your mercy, grant your empowerments tonight in every single way, that you will just show your power, your grace, your might, and in extraordinary ways to help victims, God, with healing and deliverance and safety and protection. Tonight, God, Wool Purges night, stretch out your hands. Like you did in the book of Acts, you sent angels to bring Peter out of that jailed prison. And you liberated him by just incredible supernatural means. And I know the prayer meeting at Rhoda's house was going on. So tonight, the prayer meeting tonight, all throughout this night, 3 hours, we're going to put up the prayers in all the cities that we represent. Expose, God, show extraordinary exposure, bring extraordinary help to the victims, give great courage to the believers, and we want you to just, Lord, do this in an extraordinary way tonight. We're glad you're here. We're on week number 6. I hope you have been doing the homework, by the way. Have you been doing that? I hope you've been reading the book Secret Weapons. Secret Weapons. I'm going to just read something to you out of chapter 6. The two sisters, in reference to Lynn and Cheryl Hersha, in the book Secret Weapons, the author ultimately is Dale Griffiths, PhD, law enforcement agent, retired now. I know him. Here's what it says in... Page 75, chapter 6, Bad Dreams and Worse Realities. The two sisters did not know at the time how long they stayed at Camp Grayling. On the day it was over, they awakened with the change in the computer's plane cabin pressure and the start of the descent. Their mother was reunited with them. All three had been injected with, well, a drug. Some refer to that drug now as the devil's breath coming out of South America, a mint green colored liquid that became a familiar sight to both sisters in the years to come. The drug had been used experimentally for decades, both alone and with hypnosis, LSD, and other chemicals to cause short-term memory loss. It was originally considered a way of easing awareness of interrogation by prisoners of war and suspected spies. Later, it was to be used to eliminate active memory of special programming and of research experiments that remained top secret. So I've got before me this book. It's called Secret Weapons, Two Sisters' Terrifying True Story of Sex, Spies, Sabotage. Cheryl and Lynn Hersha with Dale Griffiths. And I don't know if you've read this or not, but here's what it says on the back. Hidden under such covert names as Monarch, Artichoke, MKUltra, Paperclip lies evidence of some of America's most heinous experiments to create the perfect spy soldier. Secret Weapons reveals for the first time the extraordinary lives of Cheryl and Lynn Hersha, two sisters who, as children, were trapped in some of these top secret programs of torture and mind control. Now, as adults, they must fight for their freedom. going to have a lot of information there, and that's part of the homework that we're encouraging you strongly to get a hold of and to get the picture of the military side. The weaponization of this programming process and altering of a human being to control them, to use them, to... So you're going to see the military side. You're going to see Freedom of Information Act materials. You're going to see a lot of documentation inside Del Griffith's book. So I hope that you'll take a look at it, and Cheryl and Lynn are still out there. And this is just one of many, many books. There's one of the authors of a book called Minus One, Hell Minus One, all about a SRA survivor. And at some point, they spoke in Salt Lake City. I was just, again, there for almost 4 days. And again, the research, the looking, the searching shows the same things. In a short time, it's very hard to do a whole lot, but without question, major satanic ritual abuse in that area. And the papers I have before me, and what's been known as the PACE papers, massive exposure with many, many victims that have been coming out. And I met a couple of individuals that talk about the ritual abuse victimization there and the underground. And no doubt, and we see deep connections, maybe even on a governmental level, but on this, you know, dark side of, again, Satanism. Ultimately, the technology comes from that side. So let me welcome everybody tonight, and let me tell you that we are on page 65. We are in week 6 of this training course, and the course this week, gathering information from locations and finding the ritual sites, gathering confidence and breaking down fear. Now, we're not going to have directly a special guest, but I do have a recording, 12 minutes or so, of a individual sharing their satanic ritual abuse, how they went through things. But I'm going to play it and then interrupt it and speak and comment on it, then play some more, then comment on it, and do more and more and more. So we hope that you will, and again, it's one thing to listen, one thing to, that's great, but we also want you to, you know, get into the workbook and write things down and information, because I know this, 25 years ago when I was doing this, writing notes down and going to conferences and going to places, and we traveled everywhere. We went to Sioux City, Iowa. We went to, Columbus and down south, and we went to Richmond, Virginia to the mind control conferences, and all over the United States we're going and reading and learning. And I want you to know that that I still have materials from 20, 25 years ago. And I can remember then learning and writing things down. Let the Spirit of God guide, and I pray He does guide you tonight for scripture and insight and wisdom. And we want you to be prepared, because I know that some of you, and I already know this, that because you're here, because you're right now in this group, in this class, that you're going to be called out. You're going to be called into this work, and you're going to be able to target some of the most horrifically used people, victims. And by the power and grace of the Lord Jesus, you're going to be able to help bring them out. And that's the good news. There's nothing that the dark side has done that can't be undone. But we have to be engaged, because here's one of their premises. To keep their victims from beginning to end in secrecy, hidden, away from anybody they can, you know, engage them. That's the whole issue. They don't want anyone to engage them and help them in any way. Good news is the underground's work is not perfect, and so thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of victims have been coming out, and you know, since the 80s, and seeking the help all over the place, and desiring that, and it's important, and we want all of you to consider that the Lord may be calling you to, you know, to begin to pray for your city. We're going to emphasize that tonight. And we're going to emphasize that tonight, as we're doing this training course, Walpurgis Night, the Druids and the, pagans and the Wiccans and many others do things, you know, for different reasons. And those in Switzerland and Finland and Germany and the Czech Republic, they do it all in different ways. A lot of hedonism with it. But the undergrounders, as listed on the satanic ritual calendar, it's all about the bottom line. the bottom line, human sacrifice. Page 65, folks, we are going to start with A, gathering information from the locations. Now, like I said, I just got back Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then I left Sunday morning. I mean, there's a lot of work to do there. There's a lot of, I mean, there, you could spend a lot of time intervening, investigating, laying out the prayers, and that's what's going to be necessary. You cannot get to the underground. You really cannot get to the victims without the massive prayer agenda and God cutting in. And that's where we need to know that prayer is extraordinarily powerful for those that pray. Ask, you receive. Don't ask, don't receive. You won't receive. That's the premise. So it's very important. Yes, absolutely. Teams, and we'll talk about that tonight in the very points on this page 65. So we got 1 through 9 that we're going to go through concerning the locations. Number one, the city. And that's why I want some of you to put up what you found in your city. List the city and tell me what you've been locating in your area. The city that you live in, without question, United States, Canada, Australia, Europe, England. There's no question that you're going to be able to, if you're going to pray about finding victims, as we already worked on, if you're going to be praying about saying, God, lead me to the victims, and if you've been researching and looking and asking, you know, throughout the city, but more than anything, praying for the breakthrough, well, then that's going to be, you know, you are going to, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to find it. You're going to find it for sure. So number one tonight, the city that you live in. I mean, if you live in New York, if you live in Los Angeles, if you live in Chicago, now there's no question you got long-term rituals done there. And Aleister Crowley himself did the Amalantra working. You got Santeria, Palo Mayombe, all kinds of voodoo and everything going on in these cities. But you also have this satanic brotherhood, this ancient brotherhood, this generational bloodline creation of, well, as we call it, satanic super soldiers. Now, that means you cannot have a victim in your city. That's right, Sacramento, California. We're going to be in Sacramento, by the way, in July, speaking there in July in Sacramento. So we're going to hope that we're going to see you at the meeting. You can find that, shatterthedarkness.net. When you go there, look to your right side where it says conferences. And Sacramento is on the calendar, and we will definitely be there. Tom Dunn is leading the way on that, and we'll be there in Sacramento to see what's going to happen. I'm in Ohio, and many of you from all over Michigan, we've been up to Michigan, a number of cities there, ritual abuse issues there, victims there, very important for all of us. Glad you're asking, when are you coming to Knoxville? I'll be in Knoxville in June. We will link to the place. We've already been invited, so that's on our list too, but we don't have the link to their site yet. So we're going to be in Knoxville in June. I'll get that linked up as soon as we can, as soon as we get it from them, so you'll know about that. We'll be in Colorado in late July, actually, also. Now, we do want to come back to the New England states badly, and we're going to do some REAP trips there, REAP trips of what we just did in Salt Lake City and what we're going to do in a few cities in Pennsylvania and what we're going to do at Princeton and Harvard in our, again, looking for and in the context of that evangelism. So tonight, gathering information from local cities. Number one, your city. If you can map out your city, if you can get a map of your city, if you can get a big wall map, if you can get a big map, or if you can just have it in your notebook, it's great if you can get a map of your city. You can probably get it off of online somewhere and print out a copy. And begin to pray over your city. I don't know how many times in the last number, 25 years, I've had a map in front of me, just lay my hand on it and begin to pray over the area, the region, the city, or whatever else, so that we target target the area. If I'm praying over Akron or Canton, and tonight I prayed over Akron, Canton, Youngstown, and the Kent-Ravenna area, all places that we visited again and again, engaged victims in every one of those places, and engaged warfare and seen salvation and engaged and found some of the ritual site stuff. All the way back to the original Nazi stuff, all the way to those who in their 80s that are perpetrators. So I want you to know it's all clearly possible. We've been on the field. We know that. But I think, again, based on Ezekiel 8 and the city that he lived in, God knew exactly what was there. He knew what was going on. So please understand, number one, concerning the city, God knows explicitly what's going on in your city. He knows all the drug stuff, all the violence, all the gangs, all the corruption, you know, all the satanic stuff, all the New Age stuff. So prayer mapping your city, and I've got listed on my notes here, you're absolutely right, Shane. That means also you can do prayer walking. Now, what we do a lot is we get four or five guys in our car. And when we drive to cities, and we are going through the that shatter prayer map, and we're just going through the whole thing and praying all the way there, and praying when we get there, and then we get out to do some stuff, then we get back in and pray some more. So it can be praying from your location concerning your city. You can go out there and walk the city area and pray. You can do prayer driving the vehicles and going around. And, you know, you're praying for revival. You're doing Acts chapter 4. You're raising your voices together to God in prayer over your city, ultimately for God to strike in evangelism, salvation, his power. But in this area, if you're going to target looking for the victims and then looking for the ritual sites and looking for what's going on. Now, it's clear that God led Ezekiel. I mean, it was going on. Whether you know it, whether we found it, whether anybody else have seen it, it's going on. And it just simply took a willing person, and God willed it, God desired it, God wanted the exposure to occur. So you can go with confidence as you're going out there. And that involves the mentality that you're out there to seek the salvation of lives, the healing and deliverance. You're out there to pray for the protection and wisdom and insight and alertness of the churches. That's why that big, large prayer map. If you want the big, large prayer map that we use and we use in specifics, go to shatterthedarkness.net. Go over towards the right where it says conferences. When you go down that, you'll come to where it says the new Shatter the Darkness prayer map request list. If you click that, you'll get a PDF file of, and just page by page by page, writing down things. And we use it to really, really just have everything that God gives us. And then we go out there. So my city, Akron, my city area, Canton, North Canton, we've been to Kent-Ravenna probably 50 times. And let me tell you something. We have learned that the targeting and specific praying and asking God to break into the dark side, because they are supernaturally hidden. They are cloaked in those dark powers, the mysterium of 2 Thessalonians 2, the secret power, the mystery, that hidden power is there and operating. And human sacrifice, as I said on the live broadcast earlier tonight, that's the number one way. They all know this. You ask any victim, you ask anybody on that side, they all know that's the number one thing that the dark side requires and desires and designs and leads them to do. So what? They can get the dark side presence and power, those beings, to this side, to be on this side. It's the number one and most powerful doorway, really is. So your city. Now, you could take your city and map it out. You can begin to find locations and find where they're doing the drug stuff, find where they're doing a lot of the crime things, find where, you know, the abortion centers are, find where the prostitute centers are, all of that. And that's just simply good intercession. Churches should be doing this. If we really want to, you know, pray over our entire city and map out that city and pray for it and pour out the prayers and walk up and down. Now, I'm going to mention to you a book. I recommend it. And please understand, when I recommend books, I'm saying read them in general using your scripture as the bottom line. But I want you to get ready. I'm going to recommend a book. It's called Battling the Prince of Darkness. Battling the Prince of Darkness by Evelyn Christensen. Battling the Prince of Darkness by Evelyn Christensen. Now, one of the reasons I like it, from all the material she put, she had a team. In her neighborhood, they began to first walk the entire neighborhood again and again and again weekly, praying for every single house in every single household. Then they began to go out and invite people to a Bible study, to come over to the Bible study, have food fellowship, and they began to evangelize. And they began to lead people to Christ left and right. Now, she talks about this in the context of spiritual warfare. Battling the Prince of Darkness. She talks about defensive praying, offensive praying, and the warfare included, and then boots on the ground. All this information is not going to be any good if we don't have boots on the ground and doing the works, you know, obeying the word and doing the works of Jesus. So whether you're in Salt Lake, Chattanooga, whether you are in Sacramento or Michigan, Canada, you can begin by just getting a map. I don't care if you just get a piece of paper and draw a circle and write the name of your city and say, God, lead me to pray for the city. Holy Spirit, bring to my mind what I should begin to pray. And you keep doing that and doing that. And then if you do go out and walk, and then if you do go out and drive, if you do take a team out and go out all over the place, and, you know, God's just going to give you more and more and more. He's going to see that he has faithful prayer warriors and people that are ready to evangelize and individuals trained and ready to engage the victims. And then to use warfare prayer to pray against the ritual sites. Let me tell you why. They are the most powerful doorways of demonic powers being unleashed in cities. Where the ritual sites are and where they're really being done, you're talking about some of those powerful places where dark powers, you know, are being unleashed. And after 30 years, I'm telling you, by our boots on the ground and all the rest that we've done, and again, just coming back from Salt Lake City, doesn't matter what city I've gone to. I can go to, you know, I know right now I can go to any city and do the same thing. Pour out the prayers, keep prayer mapping it, praying for the salvation, praying for the uncovering, praying for, you know, and writing down all that God is showing you, and beginning to engage people and witness. But if you're praying to find victims, number one, you're going to find them eventually. Pray that God leads you to demonize people. There's demonized people out there. They don't know. They have no idea where to go. They have no idea where to get help. But if you're praying that God will lead you to some of the worst of individuals in bondage, I mean, look at Mark's Gospel chapter 5. And here's Jesus going straight, a beeline, straight for the most demonized guy. Everybody else stayed away. Everybody else was afraid. They tried to chain this guy up. They tried to do all kinds of things, right? But now with the authority of Christ, his presence with you, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the gospel, you go. And you begin to say, Lord, I want to lead people to Jesus. Lord, lead me to the victims. We pray for the victims. We ask you to break them free, supernaturally rescue them. And just keep doing that. Keep doing that in your city, and you're going to find in your city God showing you things, burdening you, waking you up in prayer, because you're going to become a powerful prayer warrior. That's number one. And God's going to speak to you. And like Ezekiel, sooner or later, God's going to show you where the centers of some of this dark power is going on, so that you can unleash authoritative prayer against it, praying that God will destroy the devil's work. 1 John 3:8. Number two, as you're doing that concerning the city, number two, victim houses. What do I mean by that? Victims that you meet can take you, and I've had victims take me to the old houses where they've been abused. I've been taken to places where we went inside and found pentagrams, candles, blood, all kinds of stuff. I have a friend up in Massachusetts that after we did a seminar up there, He's been hunting things down, going. He was led one day. He felt God led him off the expressway to a road. He went all the way back on the road, and he found a barn. Went into the barn. That was dangerous. We don't tell individuals to do this by themselves, but he went in and he found like jars that had human body parts and ritual stuff. I mean, he didn't even know everything he was looking at. But he also felt when he went back another time, somebody might have been observing him and watching. And I said, you cannot do that by yourself. I'm telling you that there is danger when you get that close inside, other than the hand of God. We're going to talk about your gear, number nine, your gear, what you're going to need. But you're going to have, you're going to hear about victim houses. You're going to hear victims talk about where they've been abused, where they were raised. I've had so many victims want me to take them to the same places, and it helps bring them verification. And when we go there and drive by or sit out front, sometimes they have reaction. Sometimes other personalities come forward and they remember and tell you exactly when, you know, what went on in detail. And you, so you got to be writing things down and you know, kind of have like a case workbook for each person and writing everything down and ministering to them in the car. That's just how weird it is sometimes. Not weird, but I mean, think about this. So I have this lady, she gets in the car and we have others. And at times we have folks that we call it piggybackers. Our other guys that are in another car, all they do is follow us and watch out for us. So our piggybackers, our other guys, as we're going places, they're watching us and watching if anybody comes, you know, after us. Give us a heads up, help us out. So victim houses, you're going to be finding that. You're going to be sometimes there. Victims, you know, they'll begin to talk about things. Other memories are going to come up. And so many things. That's going to happen. And you're going to hear stories sitting right in the side. You're going to get into, you know, you're going to get into, I got into deliverance right in the car when another personality comes up and demonization's there and the protector personality inside says, we're not allowed to tell you things. And all of a sudden you get into an engagement. And we're going to tell you again, as Shane has already mentioned in the classroom, chat room, about teams. You know, unless you're forced to, teams are the best thing in all of this. But point number two, you are going to be taken to, and you're going to hear about it, and you're going to end up going to the houses where victims, and maybe where more victimization is still going on. Number three, you might be taken to back alleys and dangerous areas. You've got to keep an eye out, because when it really does come to some of the ritual sites, they have watchers. They have people that watch and observe. They don't want people messing around. They don't want people looking. They don't want people seeing anything. So very important for us to realize that when sometimes, now here I want to give you a heads up. There's been times that we have had victims that began to, you know, another personality got up and they began to take us to a back alley or some obscure place. And here's, we found this out the hard way. They had people waiting. The sub-cult loyal personality had people waiting for us, took pictures of us. They were there to do harm. We were being set up at times. Now, next week, we're going to talk about disinformation, so I'm not going to go into it tonight. But I want you to know that sometimes when you go back alleys and dangerous places deep into the woods, I told you the story, and I don't know if that person listens. I think they do. But a monarch, I mean, someone that was one of the most powerfully demonized programmed people when we first met them. But at one point, they took us into Pennsylvania and then way, way, way back into the deep woods till we drove down into a circular area. And there's the black mass indicator and other occult heavy-duty symbols for ritual. Now, number one, when we got there, we were vulnerable because we were so far away. I don't care if people showed up with guns, nobody's going to hear that. We would have been, you know, they could have blown us away. While there, we dug up bones to bring back to the University of Akron, which they had checked out I think at the University of Kent, some kind of professor there or something, and they used those bones and put them on the actual police academy class on occult crime, because it was deemed that these were ritually cut like a triangle in the skull cap of, but it was an animal. That skull cap was an animal. Nevertheless, it was used. And I will tell you too, spiritually speaking, when I stepped out of the car, it felt like there were 10,000 demons there. It felt so dark and so ominous. I mean, it really did, to the point that it's as if demons were running and scurrying everywhere that we pulled up into their territory. And the truth is, it was their territory. It's where dark rituals and dark things have been done, and human sacrifice and animal sacrifice. All the stuff has been done there. So what I did in the middle of this, I opened up all four car doors and put on praise music as loud as I could. And I went marching around the car praying while everybody else went off digging for bones. And I just had to do that. And I really felt that everything, it repelled the dark side there. But we were there for not a long time when all of us felt together that we needed to get out of there. We needed to leave. It was urgent that we leave, and so we did. We got our stuff, got in, and got out of there. We've been taken to back alleys at times. We've been taken to houses at times. We've been taken places where, man, if that, again, watch out for the setup in the midst of this. But also, really be listening to the Lord and put up the prayers, because you're gonna be taken to the very places where some of this blood and gut stuff is done. Number four, the web of history. If you have one victim and they're taking you to a house, there's a whole history. They've probably had hundreds of little rituals in there. It's where sexual abuse, ritual abuse, demons are summoned. Where other victims were, like, for example, here in Akron, when I got the phone call, I came back from Worthington, from the OPATA, the police academy, and we were in training courses on advanced occult crimes. And I got back that night reading the book by Tom Wedge, the Satan Hunter, reading some of the stuff that he put out. Phone call comes in, lady begging me to go see a little 13-year-old girl in the psych ward of Akron General Hospital. So I did. I got there to talk to her. She tells me how her mother's a Satanist and a priest, all these powers, and it's absolutely unbelievable how this whole thing starts. As we begin to help her, we begin to get phone calls with strange languages, curses. We begin to have drive-by of the same car that we finally tagged the license plate and gave it to law enforcement. We found out that it belonged to the mother of this little girl, and she's considered a mother of darkness, a high-level priestess. Not only that, we engaged the house that this mother of darkness lived in. It's one of the most, the stench of like filth, darkness, I don't know what you want to call it, was there, let alone the demonic. We got to go in at one point. The weird thing was everything was painted red and all the furniture was painted black. Spiritually, it was dirty. It was dirty and it was bad stuff there. Now, what I'm saying is this whole thing begins to develop a history. We find out the two brothers are multiples and have been involved in satanic rituals, that the father had been, that there's a death involved. That we begin to web the whole history. This is the little girl that begins to have memories and takes us, 30 miles away to an area that we already researched concerning satanic rituals. And she took us right to the barn where she explained how the mother gave her something to drink that made her woozy. Didn't put her out, but made her dissociative enough, something drugged up enough, and turned her over to some guys. She remembered the hoods, the robes. She remembered the masks. She remembered the sounds. She remembered the chanting. She remembered the dog. She remembered the sexual abuse. And that began a whole world, a whole web of individuals, of people, of going to houses, of the perpetrators, learning more, where the ritual sites were, in a Catholic cemetery where a grotto is, and on, called Stairway Coven, and on and on and on and on. And so you're going to have this whole web. It's going to build with one victim. There's going to, you realize when you have one victim, let alone the personalities inside, the demonization, everything else, you might have the handlers and watchers and enforcers trying to get her back, or trying to get him or her back, trying to trigger them back. You might have them begin to do special coven-oriented ritual warfare against you. You might have them coming to your house checking you out. You might begin to find out the parents that were involved, the grandparents that were involved, that you, if you have one victim, they've been a part of a coven in which there's many others. So that you've got to understand, there are many others besides the one. As a matter of fact, this young girl, and I've known her for a long time now, and I know her husband well, and they have been in the battle against all of it to this very day, some over 20-some years later, because the rest of the coven, the rest of the stuff is still out there. She remembers clearly that there had to have been another dozen girls that were in the meetings that she was in when they were doing goddess worship and the rest, which means that little 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old girls, they're all over the city somewhere. Those victims are somewhere out there, unless they moved out of the city. So you have a big web, other victims, perpetrators, more history, the remainder of stuff. See, I believe that if we really are really praying and targeting, we are going to find some of the most we're going to eventually be given discs, flash drives, old video, audio. I mean, we confiscated 7 tables worth of stuff that we used to have, most of which I've all burned and got rid of. And we don't really do that any longer other than take pictures and get rid of it. Demonized objects. And lands and grounds that have blood-oriented demonized objects buried in the ritual sites. So you've got all kinds of things to consider when you web out the entire history. Because there is a vast history for each victim that you begin to engage. Number 5. Now, you can do worldwide search on the web. That's one thing about the web now. There's so many victims now that are telling a story, so many other things coming out. That's where I got a hold of this little red book that I have in front of me. It's called Satanic Ritual Abuse and Mormonism by Gerald and Sandra Tanner. And I can only tell you I recommend that. I'm opening it up. I'm just going to tell you some of the contents that they found, along with the Pace Papers concerning satanic ritual abuse in and among Mormonism. Here's the contents. There's like 100 little short chapters. Page 1, Satanic Ritual Abuse in Mormonism. Page 2, Satanic Accusations. Page 3, The Secret Memo. Page 5, The Church's Reaction. Page 7, Photographic Printing of the Pace Memo. 19, The Committee's Finding. False Death Certificate, page 19. An Investigation, page 22. A Real Controversy, page 24. Human Sacrifice, page 27. The Bloody Sacrifice, page 35. Baptized by Blood, page 37. Flashbacks in the Temple, page 37. 5 points, well, Shocking Accounts, page 41. The Hatfield Case, page 50. Death of Baby X, page 56. Why in Utah, page 69. A Perverted Ceremony, page 79. And it goes on and on and on. All about the Satanic Underground, about victims, about many others in Salt Lake City. There's folks right now on the ground in Salt Lake City doing what they can to find out, doing what they can to protect their children. Now, I wish we could have stayed there longer, but we have stuff here, and we gave up 3 days of live radio and all of our stuff Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so we kind of scratched the surface in Salt Lake. Some of the cities we've engaged, we've been back to 10, 12, 15 times, and that's usually because we found the victim, usually because we've been taken to the ritual sites, usually because of a lot of other things. Real quick question in the classroom chat room. Do most of the congregation, are they aware of this higher up in the church know about this. If you're talking about the body of Christ, no. The body of Christ is not deeply versed, but should be, because this is a major component of the enemy's work against the church. And it's as big, well, it's actually bigger and broader than human trafficking. And but it has to be cut into, like Ezekiel 8, supernaturally to be found. That's just simply how it has to work. Back to the page 65, point number 5, the World Wide Web. Now, you're going to find, and I say be prayed up about it, because whether you agree or not, there's a lot of Satanists that'll say how they pray about their websites and pray that demons are on them and pray against Christians and whatever else. Now, you're going to find a lot of Church of Satan sites and a lot of other sites. But if you do searches on ritual abuse, you're going to find victims, you're going to find notes, you're going to find a lot of content now out on the web. And make sure you look at the archives tomorrow afternoon for this night, week number 6. I'm linking in some new video materials and the paste papers I'm going to put there. And so there is make sure you get that, because that's primary. The primary thing for anybody new tonight, you can come in anytime because the archives are up. This is how you do it. Go to shatterthedarkness.net and scroll straight down after it says today in red, Occult Crimes Major Course. And it will show you how to link to tonight. Then it shows you how to link to the archives. Each week there's, so if you miss any week or if you miss the first 5, you got all of them there. It shows you how you get the workbook to use. We hope you're there. Glad you're here tonight. Glad all of you are here tonight. Yeah, I'm looking at that also. Thank you. Did you see the place I've discovered? Yeah. And we're going to have to take a look at that as soon as we can get together, because some of you are going to find places, and I know you're going to contact me, and we're going to do all that we can, and I'm going to get Tom Dunn on here pretty soon. Hopefully God's going to open the door. And some of the other of our volunteers we might begin to help put up to really help respond even more so. And when we are done with this training course through September, here's what we're going to do. In October, we're going to have a local training, and we may even send you out to locations and do some boots on the ground stuff. But I hope before that I'm helping you get to do some of it where you are, because all you need is a couple, 2 or 3 people. You can begin by praying. You can begin by yielding yourself to God. You can begin by really pouring out, just saying, God, I'm here. Teach me. And that's what we did. That's what we did 30 years ago. We wanted to learn everything we could. And to this day, guess what? Still trying to research, learn, read every book, all the kind of stuff. But the big issue is still the prayer aspect. Question real quick in the chat room, classroom. Doesn't each facet of the web of history carry its own doorway or curse? That's possible, but again, you carry the authority of Christ. Rebuke everything. Just rebuke everything you're looking at anyway. Sometimes I look at stuff and research stuff, and I feel like I can take a spiritual. I got to walk away and just clear the air and rebuke everything and so forth. And I've also learned there's some things I don't care. I don't even need to look at anymore. But the truth is, God led Ezekiel to see the detestable stuff, to go where the demons were summoned, to go where human blood was shed, where children were sacrificed. God led him to go right in there. So please understand, God doesn't lead you into any place as a believer in Christ where you don't have greater protection, greater authority, greater everything. So you're going to have to start with the premise of victory in Jesus and praying with authority and praying with victory, not out of fear. I don't even believe in being defensive. I believe in being offensive. I really do. It's not about just holding ourselves in a corner and protecting yourself. It's about unleashing and marching forward. You know, Onward Christian Soldier, right? That song? Question, I know a good number of Mormons, so what could I ask them that would let me know exactly? Well, you can anyway, you know, bottom line is you got to engage them about the real Christ, because the Book of Mormon is horrifically didache daemonia, and it just completely misleads them anyway. But you might begin to mention things about ritual abuse and things about, you know, have you heard about this among, you know, your groups, and begin to pray if you're among that. Because specifically in Utah, where the center and the temple is and all the rest, you got a lot of victims. You got a lot of stuff going on. Very few that really know how to cut into it. And I know there's some folks there now that really know praise and prayer, and they're doing it. And God's gonna help them, and they're gonna break in. And they led me to meet with victims of ritual abuse in the short time I was there. And it's very clear I'll probably be back there at some point. So the World Wide Web, you got to scrutinize things and observe things and really discern things. Point six, going in like Ezekiel. Now that's Ezekiel 8. You're going to have to really see what God did with him. And you got to be willing. And God did it step by step. Took him in, then little by little showed him a little bit, showed him more. And eventually led Ezekiel all the way to the primary perpetrators. Can you imagine that? God led him to see it all for the sake of exposure, and now it became a part of Scripture and shows us what God wills and desires. And the factor is, not even the prophet Ezekiel knew that it was going on. He did not know until God, you know, led him. And he wasn't even seeking that per se. But if you get up and you begin to ask in prayer, seek in prayer, knock in prayer, you will receive, you will find, and doors will be opened. And you're going to find God take you in places you would never have thought. But as Paul says in his testimony, the Lord stood by my side. Let me give you right now to just burn into your life Joshua 1:9. I'm not even going to say it. I just want you to write it down, write it on your notebook here, your workbook, and then get that into your life. Meditate on that word. Look at that word. Receive that word and see what it says. Joshua 1:9. Number seven, you got to go in like Josiah. 2 Kings chapters 21 through 23. Thank you, Shane. Put it up in the chat room, classroom. Appreciate that. It's kind of like having somebody put it up on the chalkboard. It's pretty great. This is the first time, and I hope we get better at it, this is the first time we've done a training course online. And there's a few hundred of you listening and involved right now, and another 800 that will get it later on this week and next week. We're glad for that. I mean, there's nobody in this room with me. But yet I'm with you, and the Spirit of God is there, and this is really good, and I'm excited about this. I don't know how much time we'll have left doing this. I don't know when this internet will be down, so we got to take advantage of everything right now, the most of every opportunity. Remember Ephesians 5? Redeem the time. It's important. So, want to share again point number seven, like Josiah. Josiah was led to go to the ritual sites. He was led to go to the worst of the worst, where human sacrifice was done. He was led to destroy those places, to grind the objects, the demonized objects, the slabs, to tear it all up. So you got to understand that in all of this, you know, you're going to be given stuff. People are going to, you know, victims are going to bring you stuff. You're going to come about and find things. See, I don't have satanic robes in my house or satanic altars. I've seen it all, and we've had big burnings of it all. I think nowadays we're going to take more pictures of things and have them, but in the older days we just we had them for a while, but we realized, you know what, these are demonized objects, these are ritual objects, these are bad things, and so we burned and just burned a lot of unbelievable stuff. I'll tell you about some of the stuff in detail down the road. But Josiah, and just take a look at Josiah, how he was led. And the truth is, God was going to bring terrible judgment because the Israelites had gone off to do even worse than those that were. I mean, you got Manasseh out there opening up every single door to the dark side and then offering his son in human sacrifice. God was going to bring big judgment, but guess what? Because Josiah got in there, they found the word of God, they read the word of God, Huldah the prophet gave a word, and they were unleashed to go to the places. And so you're going to have objects found and stuff brought to you, and you're going to find ritual sites, and you're going to have to call the police in maybe at times, like we already talked about, finding people you trust, okay? Question. What do they have to hide in the Mormon temple? You know, I was there, and I asked one of the leaders that we engaged, take me into the temple. I asked him to take me right into the temple. He just smiled at me and shook his head, no, I can't. And he says, you can only do that with a temple recommend. And I said, well, give me a temple recommend. He says, no, I can't. I can't give you that. Only a bishop can. I said, well, take me to a bishop that can. What's so big about the inside? Now, I saw a cutaway, but who knows? Remember that the dark side always operates in super secrecy behind closed doors. They love that. Jesus did ministry. The body of Christ does ministry out in the open for all to see. Darkness works in darkness. And the light has to break in and bring exposure to all of that. So going like a Josiah, 2 Kings 21 through 23, really study that well. And then going in like Philip, Acts chapter 8. Now that's an ultimate thing. I'm trying to give you an example of Ezekiel, Josiah, and Philip. Now Philip went into a highly demonized city, Samaria. You read Acts chapter 8, that city was so demonized. When he went in there to evangelize and healing was done, look what it says. Demons came out of people. They came out screaming. So that's and that's our 10 million fierce example. Our prayer, and I believe it is God's heart to raise up 10 million people just like Philip. So you know that's part of the example of what you can be. Believe it or not, you can. You think, well, I can't do that. We can all say that. We're all just human beings, saved by grace, empowered. But God, you ever read Ephesians chapter 2, not just verse 8, but 9 and 10. You know, you're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. John's Gospel 15, you've been chosen to go and bear fruit. Big things. You know, who else is going to go if it's not the people of God in the power of God? Who else is going to go? It's important. Number 9, your gear, and we're going to end the first hour of this. Believe it or not, the first hour is almost all up. Your gear, number 9, your gear. I got down 4 things I want to mention. Number under A, this is vital. I'm just telling you what's vital, what you need. A, you need to live in prayer and be spiritually alert. The things that I've been going over again and again and again. Prayer and alertness. And Colossians 4:2, if you can live out the 3 mandates, devotion to prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving, and that becomes a part of your normal life, you will do well. Colossians 4:2. Under B, your gear, actual gear, flashlights, cameras, cell phones. Believe it or not, in your trunk, you might need to have a shovel. If you're led sometime to some site, some area, some place, and they say there's an object there, or there's bones there, you know, you might have to dig. You know, you might have to have bags. If you're going to do investigation, now, if you come to a crime scene, very important, listen, if you come to an actual crime scene, like if you found actual human bones or skeleton or an actual body, if you ever have that happen, do not mess up forensically for trace evidence and forensics. Don't alter the crime scene. You are going to have the officers that you trust and call them directly and get them in there. If you get that, I mean, if you really do get down to that. So you're going to need flashlights, and you're going to need a camera. Sometimes I've taken, we've had to use a camera to take pictures of those who are following us, pictures of the site. Very important not to contaminate a crime scene area. So be very careful about what you see and where you're at. Sometimes you're taken to sites and you see a symbol. You don't know what it is. You take a picture. You go look on the web. Check with others what it is. In Tom Wedge's book, he has that. You know, a lot of the actual, those are scenes from satanic ritual sites and crime scenes. Every picture in there is. So same with Tony Cowell's book, A Cop's Guide to Occult Investigations. That's the title of it. A Cop's Guide to Occult Investigations by Tony Cowell, K-A-I-L. So number two, physical things that you might need, flashlights, cameras, cell phones, a shovel, first aid kit. Okay. Now, C is very important. Shane already got to it earlier. Appreciate that. Team. Question comes up too. They want to ask about weapons and whatever else. I'm not going to give you advice on that issue right now. In the book, The Black Awakening, towards the back, I do mention that. There's a book out called The Right, Shoot Back when it comes down to stuff. So law enforcement is supposed to carry stuff to bear the sword on the evildoer. But I'm going to talk about maybe response in evil situations. If you got a 12-year-old girl being sexually raped and going to be used in a sacrifice, would you physically step in? I mean, if you try to call the police and they're going to, be 15 minutes away, this girl's going to be dead. What would you do? Do you have anybody that has the right to carry? All those kind of issues got to come in, and you got to make decisions. You got to stay legal, but there's times that if you have to save a little girl, I don't care what you got to break. I don't care what line. I don't care trespass. That's my position. You might not take that position, but if you can observably see, it's like seeing a house on fire, and you go and knock on the door and pound on the door, and you see little kids in the living room. You want to break the door down and get the little kids out. It's the same type of thing. So trust the supernatural hand of God ultimately, but there might be times where you have to, risk yourself a little bit, and that's okay. Not often, but there's going to be times that you might. And how do you think they get kids, little girls and boys out of human trafficking? And you got to be very strategic. And some of the teams that are out there in human trafficking working in the way to, get the kids out without the handlers and guys that do have the guns and everything else. So it can be a little bit edgy. But you know what? We got to decide whether we're going to be on that cutting edge or not. Whether it's a good thing to lay down your life for this and for lives in the name of Jesus. So C is teams. You've got to have teams, without question, teams. You've got to make sure you do. And then D, you got to have a bug out. You got to have wherever you go, whatever you're doing. Ultimately, you're going to need to be able to get out of there. And I think that's important for all of us to understand that we need to. We are at the end of this hour. And when I say bug out thing, I've got people sometimes that back us up. I've got sometimes where people, watch over us and do a lot of things. And that's important, again, because, piggybackers, as we call them, they simply watch our backs as we go in. And then we had code, and I'm not going to get into this yet, but later on we had being on, radios, walkie-talkie type things. You got cell phones nowadays too. But you got to have a way out. You got to have backup, and you got to think that through a little bit in getting into some serious engagement. Listen, we are at past the first hour. Things to think about. We'll be back in 5 minutes to start the second hour. We'll see you in 5 minutes.